Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, today we're going to get to the heart of the issue of church membership as it applies to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You recall that in our study of 1 Corinthians 5, we first of all looked at the main issue, which is the immoral member of the church who was living openly in immorality and needed to be disciplined. And in the course of studying how this discipline was to be carried out, we learned some principles of church government as it was set up by the Apostle Paul, who established this church, and as he is now instructing this church, which he had founded, in how to conduct themselves, what steps of mechanism to take into conducting themselves in addressing this issue, and that takes us into government. But it also deals with the question of church membership. And as we have seen over the last several broadcasts, this is a misunderstood issue. This is a neglected issue. This is something that many Christians don't understand. This is something which I've come to realize many pastors and churches don't understand. And therefore, it's not surprising, I suppose, that it's not widely understood and practiced in our day when there's so many people who just don't seem to understand why there is such a practice. How it ties into the Bible, where it is taught in the Bible. And we've been trying to show you that, and we're going to really get to the heart of it now in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Up until now, I've been going to other passages of Scripture to deal with the concepts of church membership. But now we get back to 1 Corinthians 5, and we hopefully will nail it down in this passage of Scripture. And so this is Thursday, August 19, we welcome you to the Beacon Broadcast for this particular date, and we thank those of you whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. What have we covered so far in regard to church membership? Number one, concept and terminology. We looked primarily at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for that. Number two, application and reception. How do people apply for membership, and how are people received into churches, into the membership of churches? And for that, we looked at primarily at Acts chapter 9. Thirdly, and most recently, we dealt with the issue of removal and relocation. How does one transfer his membership from one church to another? And we found indications of that in Acts chapter 9 and in the communications that we find going on among churches, indicated in 2 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 16 and in the third epistle of John. But now we come fourthly to the issue of what I've called exclusion and reassignment. Now, exclusion refers to removal from the church. This is this discipline that is being carried out in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Instructions for that discipline are being given in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So that's the exclusion. We'll get into that in a moment. What's the reassignment? Well, the reassignment is the reassignment of the identity or the identification of this individual who professes to be a Christian but won't live like one. He's living in immorality. And so there is a reassignment of his identity to clarify how he is viewed by his church, which turns out to be his former church, because the first step is to exclude him from the membership of the church. Now, you remember, the problem was he was living in open immorality and was unrepentant. So what is the requirement? The requirement is to remove him from membership and return him to the world. When he comes into the membership of the church, he is being removed from the world and becomes identified another way. He becomes classified another way. He becomes under the protection of the church. But he must be removed from membership because he won't repent of his immorality. So we read in 1 Corinthians 5, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed, and here's the critical words in this verse, he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Might be taken away from among you. What is that? Removed from the membership of the church. That he might be taken away from among you. And then in verse 5 we have this language. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Deliver unto Satan. Deliver him unto Satan. We know what a delivery is. A delivery is taking an item from one place and removing it from that place and delivering it and depositing it someplace else. That's a delivery. This man is to be delivered unto Satan. He's to be taken away from among you, the church, and delivered unto Satan. So he is removed from membership in the church and returned to the world, delivered unto Satan. When a person is saved, they are removed from the kingdom of Satan and transferred, or we could say delivered, and we use that very language. Salvation is a deliverance. Someone is delivered from their sins, delivered from condemnation, delivered from their previous condition as one who is in the domain of Satan, in the kingdom of Satan, delivered into the kingdom of light. So, and you can see how all of that parallels church membership. He is a member of the church. He is separate from Satan. He is not in the world. He is in the church, but he won't repent of his immorality, so he's been confronted. He's been reprimanded, and he's unwilling to repent and to stop living in immorality. So what do? You remove him from membership, taken away from among you, and you return him to the world, delivered unto Satan. That is exclusion from membership. The technical term for that is excommunication. Some people get all alarmed by that word. That just has such a ominous ring to it. But it just simply means communication has the idea of, we talk about a communicant, someone who is received into the church, into the communion of the church, the fellowship of the church, the communion of the church. He is a communicant. Well, excommunication is to remove him from that category. He's no longer in communion of the church, no longer a communicant of the church. He is an excommunicant, excommunication. He is an ex-church member. He has been taken away from among you and delivered unto Satan. That's exclusion from membership. And then there is the reassignment of identity. And that takes us down later in the chapter, but we come to verse 11. He says, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. He's called a brother, but not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For verse 12, what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Outside what? Outside the church. I don't judge those. Do you not judge those who are inside? Inside what? Inside the church. But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Get him out so that God will deal with him as an outsider. He doesn't belong in the church. Someone named a brother, a so-called brother, has forfeited his right to that name because of his sinful conduct. He is now an evil person. So he must be put outside. One who is now inside must be put outside. He has forfeited his right to be inside. Inside what? Inside the church. And so the church officially reassigns the identity of a wayward member to correspond to his present lifestyle. We can no longer endorse his profession of faith. It is no longer a credible profession of faith. He was received into membership upon a credible profession of faith. It seemed genuine. It seemed valid. It seemed like he had the marks of a true Christian. We were happy to receive him into our fellowship. This is the fellowship of believers, of Christians. We are glad to receive such an one into our fellowship, into our church membership. Now he's living in immorality, unrepentant, will not put away from himself this adulterous relationship. So we can know he's living like a pagan. He's living like an unbeliever. He's claiming to be a Christian. We've called him that. We've gave him that approval, that we agreed with that identification. We did that by receiving him into membership. We called him our brother, but he's forfeited that now, so we have to remove his identification or reassign his identification. As far as we're concerned, we cannot any longer consider him a brother. What does that mean? Well, if he's not a brother, if he's not a Christian, he can't be a member of the church. He has to be put outside the church. And so we reassign his identity from that of a believer to an unbeliever. That's what we're doing in church discipline. In church removal, church excommunication. Now, a lot of people have problems with this because they say, well, we can't see his heart. We don't know if he's genuinely saved or not. We don't know if he's a wayward brother who's going to repent and come back to the Lord. No, we don't. And God doesn't ask us to see the heart. God instructs us to act according to the outward activities. There are certain things that are required of people who name the name of Christ, and one of them is that they don't live in adultery. They don't live in fornication. If they do, they are to be confronted. They are to be called to repentance. They are to acknowledge their sin. They are to ask not only God to forgive them, but their brothers and sisters in Christ to forgive them. They have harmed the testimony of Christ. They've harmed the testimony of the church. If they won't do that, it's our responsibility to act upon the outward evidence. We can no longer affirm this person's claim to being a Christian. Just the opposite. Everything about his life seems to indicate that he is not a Christian. It is therefore our duty to put him outside. He can no longer be inside. He can no longer be a member. We have to remove his membership. He can no longer be inside. He must be outside the church. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.